And welcome to Montgomery. It is Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along this hour as we're kind of splitting up the gang. Dalton and Kelly back in studio, and I'm up here today and tomorrow in Montgomery as we're watching Special Session Now and the discussion of infrastructure and the gas tax, and joined by Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh. Thank you for your time. Thanks for carving out a little bit for us, because I know you're busy.
Thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, let's kind of go back a couple years. We'll go history first before we go current events. 2 years ago, I was talking about this. This is, you know, my audience, I've told them several times, you shouldn't be surprised about what's happening now, because we were talking about this 2 years ago. It seemed to have a head of steam for a while. I had a lot of people come on and talk with me about it. Then something happened or didn't happen in legislation.
Yeah, and what didn't happen is 2 years ago, we didn't have near the information we have today. In the last year and a half through the Pro Tem's office, there have been 31 meetings in Montgomery with different stakeholders about infrastructure. Everything's been discussed from what is infrastructure for the state of Alabama, how should it be handled, how do we compare with our neighboring states and beyond, and what should we look for the future. And through these 31 meetings, we have looked at, for instance, we consider now infrastructure to be roads and bridges, or port in Mobile, and we consider high-speed internet IT connection part of infrastructure. And through this process, we also determined that Alabama needs approximately 10 cents to be competitive, not only for today, for what we've got to address in the future, everything from roads and bridge replacement to the ports, deepening the harbor to allow us to double our freight through the ports, to have adequate safety for our citizens, and to address also new technologies such as electric cars. All this has been looked at. It's been considered very carefully. We have the facts to show the legislature, and we believe this is something we need to do now.
You know, Senator, last time we were talking about this, though, in two sessions ago, I remember the push was about roads and bridges. I remember the scorecard came out, scored our roads and these bridges, and said this bridge was built with a lifespan of 30 years and it's now 40 years, and those kind of stories is what we were talking about back then. And to me, that has to have gotten, if they were C scores or D scores back then, got to be worse now.
That's correct. In fact, what's happening now, what we've been doing for the last several years, is just repairing what we can. There are several bridges in this state that have been tagged unsuitable for a school bus to cross. So you're having people going out of the way by 20 miles because they can't use a bridge. You know, it's time for us to address it. But let me say something, and I mentioned this, and a lot of people don't realize this. Since 2010, when Republicans took control, we've downsized government. Government today in Alabama is 15% smaller than it was in 2010. 200,000 more of our Alabamans have jobs, and those jobs pay 20% more than they did 10 years ago on the average. And we have put at the same time, if you add every tax, state, local taxes that a citizen pays in Alabama, and compare it across this country, we are 50th in paying taxes. If we were to implement this gasoline tax, this modest 10-cent tax, we would still be the lowest cumulative-based tax in the country. So we're not doing something that puts us out of whack. We're doing the responsible thing. We downsize government. We are efficient. Now we've got to deal with infrastructure. We're in a position to do that because of the way we have run this state for the last 10 years.
But speaking of budgeting, though, and running the state, there have been some lucky breaks, and we won't even get into my Southwest Alabama angle on the BP money. But BP money, federal largesse, different things have bailed the state out in the nick of time. Right in the budgeting process, we've reached in our pocket of our coat, and all of a sudden we found that $50 bill we didn't know was there.
Well, we've been lucky in some cases, as you just stated. But here's the facts: we're 4% unemployment now. Right. Our revenues, both in the general fund and education trust fund, are record levels this year. So we have done what it takes to get this state in strong economic position. But guess what? Every time someone comes to the state to talk about coming to Alabama, especially large industry, what do they want to know about? They want to know about infrastructure, connectivity to their plants.
Sure.
If we've got to have dollars available to do that, hey, safety to our citizens is number one, but economic development is a piece of that component to make us competitive, not just today, but 10, 20 years down the road. And what's the beauty of this, as we've talked about earlier, we can do this, and we're still the lowest tax state in the country. I don't know what else as a legislator I could do. I mean, if I've kept taxes the lowest and I'm still able to do an infrastructure plan that keeps us competitive, I mean, I don't know why we have to apologize for that.
No, but the problem is there's two things you just said there that I think that takes – I will say this. So I'm talking to family members about this and said, you know, my family members that are engaged in this, some and some that are not, that said, that, you know, the Republicans in Alabama have not done the best job of explaining what you just did, Senator Marsh. In other words, because people look at this and they say, yeah, okay, the roads and bridges, they can see that every day. But you talk about bigger picture things. You said, here's what we need to do to get business recruited in. Here's what, listen, I mean, this is a Homer issue for me when you talk about the port. This is a big thing, but that is not a, it's an overall, it's a 10-year window. It's something that you see in little bits and pieces here, but there's not as many ribbon cutting ceremonies or things like opening up a new interstate spur or opening a rebuilt bridge.
You're exactly right. And listen, I'm not, it's not my nature to brag, okay? It's just not. But the reality is we have spent the last 8 years since Republicans have been in control of the legislature doing things our base wanted us to do, and quite honestly, what I think is healthy for the state as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so here we are today, as I said, our citizens are making 20% more money. Our taxes are the lowest in the country. We have downsized government 15%. And we're in a position to address what is our responsibility is infrastructure. To me, infrastructure, education, and health care are the three things that we always have to look at as a responsibility. Prisons, obviously, is part of that, too. Right. We have to deal with those things. I will be irresponsible at this point in time, in my opinion, if we do not address this because we're in a position to do it, and it's the best thing. You know what I don't want? I don't want to be called into a special session because a school bus has gone through a bridge. I mean...
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Sure. But yeah. This is things we were talking about 2 years ago. But I want to go through some of the questions that have been asked of me. One specifically said, how will ALDOT spend the additional money to be gained?
Great question. In addition to this proposed tax, there's an accountability bill that follows it, and it basically says that the Joint Highway Commission, which is made up of 12 senators and 12 House members, have to see the plan ALDOT for every project they plan in the coming year. Okay. That committee has to approve that plan or ask for changes to be made in it. That plan also is posted on the internet for any citizen to go and see what's being done statewide. They can pull it up by county, by city, by state to see what projects are being done. And guess what? If ALDOT doesn't do it, that committee can put it in the budget and prioritize a project to make sure it's done. So the accountability measure is following this. These additional dollars will have good oversight.
Will we be able to understand it? In other words, just regular citizens, when we go on the website and look at it, is there a scoring mechanism or something, you know, a triage list, if you would, on different projects? So I, as a, you know, guy who's in broadcasting, not in road building and traffic, can go and say, yeah, that makes sense. Well, I really want my road here to be up there. Those folks do have a case to make to get something in your district.
Of course, every project is scored. They have to be scored. They have to, you know, what qualifies for federal dollars that we bring down, those things. But the beauty of this accountability piece is, yes, there will be a score, and yes, these projects will be slated on the plan. But also it gives the ability for a legislatory or a delegation to go before the Joint Highway Commission and say, hey, listen, our plan, our project wasn't on there. We want to state our case of the importance and what ALDOT did not grasp. And if that committee says, you know, we see it, they could add that to the project and give that district a voice they've never had before.
All right, Doug, can you hang on for a second?
Sure.
Coming right back, more with Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh. We're talking about infrastructure, talking about the gas tax, and getting your opinions as well. Right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. This part of the show, we're live in Montgomery. Stay close. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, and we are live in Montgomery as a special session has been called for infrastructure and the gas tax discussion, and this segment of the show brought to you by C Spire. What if you only needed one company to take on all your technology challenges? One company to handle security, cloud, internet, and more? Introducing the new CSpire Business, industry's first full-stack managed solution provider with over 500 service professionals, over 8,700 miles of fiber, and the ninth-ranked cloud system in the entire world. With everything in a single managed IT portfolio, the result is a faster, more secure way to do business. From desktop to data center, CSpire Business will meet you wherever you are and take on your biggest business technology challenges. Learn more at cspire.com/business, CSpire, customer inspired. Continue our conversation with Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh and talking about special session, talking about the infrastructure needs. And you expressed in the beginning, too, that in addition to roads and bridges, infrastructure also means...
Well, it means the port of Mobile. I mean, that port brings in a lot of commerce. A lot of commerce goes out of that port. It's important for the whole state. We can deepen that harbor, match it with federal dollars, and double our trade through there. Those cargo ships that come in and the cargo are put in 18-wheelers that drive across this state. So it's a perfect fit and should be part of infrastructure.
And so people have said, okay, well, if that is true, well, first of all, let's talk about the match, and then we get to that. It's how much from our side and how much from the federal side?
Sean, we're very fortunate. We determined early on that the port was part of infrastructure, and we made approximately $10 million a year available to work on deepening the harbor. At the same time, we didn't even realize it. Senator Shelby has put money in the budget on the federal side, significant dollars that we'll be able to match with that $10 million, expedite this project, do a 15-year bond, and be able to pay for that deepening. And then at the end of that 15 years, that $10 million goes away, okay?
It sunsets.
Okay. So we're getting the project completed in a reasonable amount of time, going to be great for the state, and it truly is infrastructure.
Well, what are you telling? I mean, because, I mean, here you are talking to me. I get it. I mean, I live right by the Mobile River in the port. But what do you tell somebody in your district? Why should they care? Why does it help the entire state? Why does it help somebody?
Because that's Alabama's port. Now, I guarantee you there's places all across the state that move commerce down there, move product down there to go out, as well as stuff coming in, going across the state. That port, everything doesn't go to Mobile. You know, Sean, mm-hmm. It goes all over the state. Here's what baffles me, and it's our fault in a way. It goes back to your question earlier about what's been done. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about it. I mean, the fact that we are truly the lowest cumulative tax base state in the country, and even with this tax fully implemented, 10 cents, we'll still be the lowest state. I mean, it's the best of both worlds. We've put ourselves in a position to brag about being a low-tax state and have a great infrastructure system that addresses the future and handle so many critical needs for this state. And I know what it is. It's people don't trust government.
That's exactly what I hear when they say, yeah, why would we give the state more money to do this? Because they're obviously not doing a good job with the money they have now, that's my opinion, but that's what I hear day in and day out.
But people hear it and it multiplies. That's what they hear. But I go back, you know, we've downsized government 15%. ALDOT alone has 400 less employees today than did in 2010. We forced efficiencies down the road. People say there's all this waste. Listen, there's going to be waste in any business, anything, but I'm telling you, the amount of waste in government is not what people think it is.
And this additional money that would come in is not for bureaucracy, buildings.
It has to be spent on roads and bridges. I mean, every bit of it. The way the gasoline tax works now and will with this addition is every bit of that money goes to highways, roads, and bridges. 35% of that money is sent back to counties and cities to spend on roads and bridges in their areas as they choose. The other 65% remains with the state.
Okay, so would there be concurrent? Okay, so with that 35-65 split, would there be in one area a project that is partially funded by the local 35% and then they solicit part of the 65% from the state, or would they be separate projects? How's that work?
It's their choice. The city may say, hey, here's a project that may not qualify for federal funding, but we want to do it anyway. They could do it. Otherwise, they could say, hey, state, this one, we think it applies to federal dollars too. Can you help us? And the state is much more willing in many cases to put money to a community when they're going to add some skin in the game.
Right.
So it gives that flexibility to those areas. And with the accountability portion that's in a separate bill that's following this bill, it gives another added addition to a city, county that could literally, the members of a city and county delegation could come to Montgomery, go in front of the Joint Highway Committee that's made up of senators and House members, and state their case about why this project's important. Okay. And they could literally have an impact on ALDOT's budget on that project.
So they can make a subjective case on an objective black and white document.
Absolutely. And they could bring in the economic data that may be relevant. Because, you know, hey, if we're able to do this, we know it's going to bring this industry. I mean, those things could be brought into the equation that aren't there now. It gives the voice to the local level.
Okay, I got this question from my friend and news partner. I was asking during the break to ask you, if this is passed here in special, how fast before people start seeing projects that are paid for with the additional?
I think they'll start seeing projects next year because we know the revenue's coming, okay? And we'll be able to lay that five-year plan out. Those additional projects we'll be able to get on. It'll be posted online for people to see exactly what's going to be taking place.
Let's talk about let's get in the nitty gritty here before we get finished. The votes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in special session. This is something I know you talked about with Dale Jackson earlier. The mechanism of a special session, to me, gives advantage to whatever is brought up in the special, right? It's a catalyst for it.
Well, you're focused on it. You're focused on that issue.
And advantages avoiding BIRs and a simple majority vote, mm-hmm. right?
I'm confident that we have the votes in the Senate, but what's important to me is the people of this state see that this is a bipartisan issue. It should not be going on party lines. This is
you
about
have Democrat
the
support.
We will have Democrat in the Senate. I plan. My goal in the Senate is to have everybody support this. It's that important for the state, and I think it sends a message to people.
That's pulling
Alabama.
Off a hat trick there. If you get full support,
that's my goal. I'm not going to be happy with 18 votes. I can just tell you that.
So what about over in the other body? What about in the House? What do you hear?
I don't control that, but I will send a clear message to the House members. It's my responsibility to let them know that if it gets upstairs, we've got the support to pass it.
All right. People are going to watch this. You have a feeling timeline. Is this something that by this time next week is resolved?
Well, again, a special session can only last 10 days.
Right, but you can go as late as, what, the 19th?
I believe that by next week, late next week, we will know the success of this infrastructure bill. And I truly believe that once it's passed and the people see the product of what's going to take place and have all the facts, we have done our job.
Okay, I'm a what's next kind of guy, too. So let's say this is all at that timeline. Put to bed. You got this. What's next?
We'll go to a regular session,
what's
get
next?
Back on the budgets. We've had a very good year in Alabama through economic policy that we've passed in the last several years. We're going to have record amounts in our budgets to deal with education, which is a wonderful thing. We've got a lot of challenges there. We have got to make some changes. I've said to you before, what's important is our education to this state, infrastructure, health care. Education probably has more effect than anything in terms of economic growth and quality of life to our citizens. And we've got to focus on education.
Now, of course, if you look at for funding mechanisms, there's the unscientific polling I do. People want that referendum. They want to talk lottery.
And I've got Senator McClendon has a lottery bill he's going to introduce. I told him as pro tem, I'll do all I can to get to the floor for a vote. We've passed a lottery bill out of Senate before. It failed in the House. But we will continue to try to let people have that option to vote on a lottery.
Well, if the governor's listener, you could pass this along. My idea has been for the last few months is you have the Alabama lottery for prisons.
Well,
see if you can get that one passed. That will be, you know, the prison lottery bill.
Well, we will address the problems of the state. I appreciate all the citizens that are listening to you this morning and taking time to hear the facts of what we're trying to get done at the state of Alabama.
I appreciate your time as well.
Thank you.
All right, Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh joining us right here on Mobile Mornings. Coming right back, Rob Holbert from Lanyap on the way. And we'll be live, of course, at noon today for Midday Mobile right here from Montgomery.
Chicane, 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over, talk with Chris Califi about McConnell Automotive. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Yeah. My good friend Mitch has had a little bit of the Mardi Gras out of him. He's still out enjoying Mardi Gras with his child. And they seem to have had a great time.
Well, yeah, Mitch and the crew at McConnell Automotive do such a great job year in and year out. It's all right to let the hair down and let loose at Mardi Gras. I mean, that's why it's down here in Mobile. So we were talking during the break about the great deals, everything that's going on at McCollum Automotive. And one of the things you mentioned, certified pre-owned vehicles, a fantastic thing offered by McConnell.
Well, it's great. It's, you know, the prices of cars are, you know, sometimes out of the range for people. They just want a good value. And that's what a certified pre-owned car does. You know, give somebody the assurance that they're going to not have a problem when they buy a pre-owned car. And McConnell is excellent at finding these cars that are can be certified. And they do a great job with it. You get a 12,000-mile warranty, 12 months. You know, it's all going to be good. And they just take care and make sure you're going to get a good car at a great price.
All right. We appreciate it, Chris. Have a good one.
All right, man. Have a great one. And happy belated Mardi Gras.
Yeah, happy belated Mardi Gras to everyone. That's Chris Califi on behalf of McConnell Automotive. Find him online, McConnellAutomotive.com. Great place to check the inventory. And if you want to go see him in person, just go to McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. It is a Thursday, and this is Mobile Morning, so we're going to talk with Rob Holbert of Lanyap and a new issue on the streets now. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Great. Good morning. Good to hear from you. Happy post Mardi Gras.
I'm just glad to be here after Mardi Gras.
I know that's right.
And Sean,
touch and go for a while there.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that. And Sean packed up and moved away from us for at least the next couple of days. He's up in Montgomery.
Sean during Mardi Gras. I'm actually very surprised he's not in an ICU somewhere.
I'm really not here. This is a voice and body double. The real Sean Sullivan's in ICU. Yeah.
This is the FM Talk 106.5 party line right here. Oh my goodness. Love it.
So lots to check out in the new issue of Lanyap and lawsuits. Let's start off with the lawsuit filed by Lanyap against the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Tell us what's going on here, Rob.
Well, in 2017, a guy named Jonathan Victor from Louisiana was driving down I-10. He had a single car accident. There was a lot of crazy stuff going on I-10 that day, including somebody that was driving up and down the road or driving down the road allegedly showing a gun to people. From that point on, somehow or another, it ended up with him on the side of the road and lots of officers around him, sheriff's deputies around, kind of backed off, and he got out of the car and acted pretty strangely, and they ended up shooting him. And so the issues that we have are, you know, trying to look at some of the body cam footage, those types of things, some of the investigative things to see how it got from the point where he was in a wreck to the point where they were in a defensive posture. And so we've asked for that stuff. The Sheriff's Department has denied it, even though the investigation is over. Sergeant Matt Hyundai that shot him has been cleared of wrongdoing by the Baldwin County Grand Jury. So there's not a criminal investigation ongoing at this point, but still, as usual, the police departments in this area and then the sheriff's departments a lot of times won't give you information and any of that body cam footage. So we have filed suit on that to try to get that because we believe that it's important for us as a newspaper to serve that watchdog capacity and at least look at it and see what happened.
And I was going to ask, from a journalistic standpoint, Rob, you know, the media was able to see snippets, if you will, but
right.
Explain to people why it is you want all this information when it comes to, when we're talking amendments and what we should know from a news standpoint and what the public deserves to know.
Well, I mean, Kelly, if you see that snippet, the police are already back. You know, the sheriff's deputies are back in a defensive position already. They are already in a situation where they are, you know, believe this person is going to do some sort of harm. I mean, when he starts coming over the chair, they're yelling, "He's coming over the chair!" You know, when he's coming over into the passenger seat to get out of the car, and they start screaming at him to drop something the second he even opens the door. So, And he did get out of the car and had something in his hand, and you know, it was wrapped in clothing, and he was pointing it at officers, and he got shot, and it turned out to be a fanny pack. So, but the question we have is, where did it go from? I mean, it's when somebody gets in an accident, it's not normal for everybody to gather 25 feet away with their guns drawn. Mm-hmm. So there has to be some point at which it went from an accident to officers feeling threatened, and that's not really clear at all.
So your focus is, how did it escalate from one point to another so quickly?
Yeah, and I think that's important for people to see that. You know, when you, you know, it's obviously, you know, we're not trying to, we're not saying anybody did anything wrong, but it is important to look at those things. And we, you know, when everybody, when these, when a lot of departments, a lot of agencies bought body cam, when they bought body cameras, the concept was, this is going to show things that, you know, it's going to help kind of protect officers from being accused of wrongfully shooting people. But often what happens is they withhold them. Now, they also arbitrarily open it up sometimes, and you know, if it's something that is in their favor, or very, you know, all of a sudden it shows up the day after, you know, it's like it doesn't, a lot of it is not very standard, is a big part of the problem. But we think under Alabama law that it is, that it should be open record. And you know, locally, David McDonald of Kilbourne, Roebuck and McDonald is representing us, and then there's a couple of lawyers out of Chicago from the firm of Lovey and Lovey, who have been instrumental in doing some of this stuff before, that have come on to work on this.
Were you at all surprised that there was any pushback into releasing all of this footage?
No, not at all. It's we've never been able to get this kind of footage is typically rejected. I think it was WALA that went on that had to fight with the Mobile Police Department about that, with the pepper spraying of kids down at the Cannon a few years ago, and they, you know, that went on and on and on about getting some body cam footage of that. So I mean, it is just, I think, pretty standard at this point. They say, no, we're not going to give it to you.
Another lawsuit to keep an eye on, written about in this week's Lanyap. This one from Gabe Tynes. He writes, Fairhope's former public works director sues over termination. So this is Jennifer Fidler, used to be the public works director, and she's suing the city and Mayor Karen Wilson. What's this one about, Rob? What's her complaint here?
Well, she's alleging that the mayor, in April of 2017, she was terminated, and then she's alleging that in November of 2016, she witnessed the mayor shake the human resources director, Pandora Heathcote, took her by the shoulders and shake her during a meeting, violently in some capacity. She's claiming she saw that and ended up afterwards being fired because of that kind of thing, pressured not to talk about it, et cetera. The mayor denies that ever occurring. And, you know, so this is a lawsuit that, you know, it'll play out whichever way. We don't really have any idea of knowing what the reality is in this case, but you know, that's I guess they'll hash it out in court over that.
And part of that lawsuit, I guess, a main sticking point is Fidler was due to retire January 1st, 2018,
right,
and was fired before that. And
right, she had asked to be able to stay on as the city horticulturist until her retirement on, you know, January 1st of 2018, and was fired before that. So I think a lot of that also feels like it was punitive and done to harm her retirement.
Well, and it makes you scratch your head, because when you look at this article that's posted in this week's Lanyap, it says that she only learned she was fired after she filed a public records request to view her personnel file, which subsequently was found to contain a notice of termination effective the same day she requested the file.
Yeah, there's, you know, if y'all all remember when the administrations changed, there were a lot of people, you know, a lot of issues about personnel and people coming and going. And I think, you know, this was one of the big ones involved in that. And, you know, so it's just kind of an ongoing thing between the mayor and those employees.
And we haven't talked about the meditation center there on Dog River in a while. I know there was a lot of talk about the city and the meditation center. They kind of had a dispute going on. This dispute still going on. Looks like they're actually going to be in court coming up next week. They're going to start that.
We're talking law here this morning. It's L.A. law. You know, or Alabama law. We've got
dun, dun.
Lots of
Jimmy Smith.
yeah, there's been a 4-year dispute. dispute between the Buddhist Meditation Center that was they wanted to put on Oolong Drive, and the city's planning commission and city council said that it was not appropriate to be there. That it, they did side with the people that live over that area. That said that it would affect traffic and access to the street. But now they're being sued in federal court by because they're saying that basically that this is discriminated against them religiously, that they're facing religious discrimination. So, yeah, this is going to start this week, and it's a pretty interesting case. You know, the whether that it's about a 7-acre piece of property down there, and you know, they're the question of whether they're going to be able to put the meditation center out there. They plan to build about a 2,500 square foot building and another cottage out there. So they want to do some buildings, but mostly they have a lot of, I guess, meditation out there. and they just calming. Basically, some other spots they own in town, they say, are too loud to do that.
And according to your, once again, your article in this week's Lynn, yeah, the trial set to start at 9 a.m. Tuesday, March 12th. And District Judge Terry Moore will preside over this one. This will be interesting to watch.
It will be an interesting one. I mean, if, you know, just when you get into it's getting into the whole freedom of religion things and constitutional issues, and it should be pretty fascinating regardless of how it comes out.
Well, I know we talked a lot of lawsuits this morning. That's not all to check out in the newest edition of Lanyap. You got plenty of great stories in there.
There's other stuff that doesn't involve anybody getting sued.
Right. And the cover story looks like a love story about a man wrongly convicted of murder and spent a lot of time in prison.
It's a crazy one. Yeah, it is. Mike Pardue, who was convicted of a triple homicide and spent 27 years in jail, and you know, to have his conviction overturned, and he escaped from jail a couple times and got married in jail. It's a pretty interesting story.
Wow.
And where can people pick that up, or even better, have it delivered?
You can pick us up in all the all the 1500 different locations around Baldwin and Mobile counties that haven't been washed away by the Mardi Gras people and all the boxes weren't thrown into the gutter. But you can go there, or you can check us out online at lanyapmobile.com. And you can also have us delivered to your home for $1 a week. Just go to the website and hit home delivery.
All right. We appreciate it, Rob. Love talking to you every single Thursday, and talk to you next week.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too, Roberto.
That's Rob Holbert. New edition of Lanyap on the streets now. Check it out. And we're coming right back. More Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll check back in with Sean live from Montgomery.
Hey, thank you, Kane. Welcome back. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane, and you at 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, now Mardi Gras is over. I'm not saying you had a bunch of junk stacked up, but now you have a bunch of junk stacked up on the stack of junk you already had as you brought it home from Mardi Gras. Listen, if you made that resolution for 2019 to get organized in your house, the first thing you got to do is get rid of the junk. And you can make that happen pretty darn fast when you call my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, doing work in Mobile and Baldwin counties, commercial properties, residential properties. Heck, you got a storage unit you need cleaned out. If you have a swing set in the backyard and your youngest child's in graduate school, maybe it's time to get rid of the swing set. Call Trey and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And we are, I tell you, put some pictures on Twitter. I'm going to put some more here once we go to the news at the end of the hour. I am in Secretary of State's office, John Merrill's office, and it's really, really beautiful, beautiful office. And we had at one point, poor Secretary of State Merrill walks in here, and there were 15 people in here because there's two radio shows going on. And a bunch of folks like Jeff Poore, who we know, and Dale Jackson, they're in here. Plus, we had a bunch of guests. So, yeah, I think the Secretary of State's actually sitting out in the lobby doing his work because we have taken over his office here in Montgomery. But he's very kind to set us up here. And this is where we're going to do shows at noon as well. And then tomorrow, throughout the day as well. We're reporting live from Montgomery during special session. House has the bill right now. We're going to walk over, Jeff and I, here in just a little bit, check out what's going on in the House of Representatives, and then be able to update you coming up at noon today on the show. So tune in, Midday Mobile, bunch of guests, and our local delegation. We're going to get people from the House and the Senate that are local representatives and see how they're going to vote on this thing, if they'll tell us. It is the best-kept secret in Montgomery how everybody's going to vote on this. It seems like you heard Senate President Pro Tem Del Mar say he has the votes, so maybe he has the votes in the Senate, but what about in the House? We'll try to find that out today.
So you got your feet up on the desk in there yet, or what's going on? This is the first radio row from special session, I believe.
Yeah, this is absolutely. And I have not gone and sat in the chair at John Merrill's. I had to go sit on his couch.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he's, you know, I know this will be of no interest to you, Dalton, but he has a fantastic collection of University of Alabama football memorabilia.
Come on.
And so I have spent some time, yes, touring through the Bama fan items that are in here. So I'm digging that. I'll take
Sean,
a picture of
Sean, they probably
of those,
have but, cameras watching you. Just keep that in mind,
well,
okay?
I'm just saying.
I mean, where are your southern manners? So the man, you kicked him out of his own office.
It was very weird because we got in early because we had to get these shows started early and all the equipment hooked up here. So we were in here right after 6 o'clock in the morning. So Secretary of State comes walking in at normal time to do his job. And there were 15 people in his office up here. Two sets of us doing radio shows and a gaggle of guests in here. And it was something like, I'm sorry, man.
It'd be a fly on the wall.
I'm sorry. I know this is your office.
That's great. So we got about a minute here till the end of the show. What's kind of the, from what you're hearing, what's it looking like time frame with this special session and gas tax? I mean, are they going to try to vote on this soon, or what are you hearing?
Okay, so go just by the rules of it. So the bill has to be read 3 times in each body, meaning the House will have to read it. And yeah, committee comes out of committee, you read it, then it goes through another process, and you read it, and then you read it one more time. At that point, it can be sent to the Senate. What I'm getting from people that are in the House right now that have reason to know this, they said probably voted on by the House Saturday. Mm-hmm. That right now, as it stands, this would be voted on by the House Saturday. Maybe tomorrow, but most likely Saturday. Then it would go to the Senate. Senate has to do the same thing. 3 readings in the Senate and then a vote before it would go to the governor. So, you know, I'm telling you what they're telling me. They Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, this coming out of the Senate and heading to Governor Ivey's office. Of course, Governor Ivey's going to sign it. She's a big proponent, so there's no question there. But process-wise, in special, if they get this passed and there's not some derailment, this would be something that would be getting signed by the governor probably Wednesday of this coming week.
Well, you know, civics teachers right now are licking their chops because this is a great, lesson as to understanding what's happening in our state capitol, how this impacts you and you and you. So I'm glad you're there. Thanks, man.
Yeah, the last time I was up here with a civics class and a great government econ teacher, and now I'm back all these decades later. But it's pretty cool since I'm piled up at the Secretary of State's office having a good time. So y'all make sure to tune back in at noon today for Midday Mobile. More from Montgomery. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. And Dalton Kelly, I'll see y'all when I get back.
All righty.
Can't wait.